FM News Talk 97.1. On-demand audio.
Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Organization, heritage.org, at Genevieve Wood on Twitter. Genevieve, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. It was a great speech last night. I wasn't there, but I caught some of it when I got home from another dinner, and I have to say it was you're on target. It was very good. I mean, obviously, he talked about the lights issue, but he hit a number of issues, and he made it clear all the accomplishments that have been made, they will go away if Nancy Pelosi is the next speaker or Chuck Schumer is the next Senate Majority Leader. So I think he made it clear there's a very clear choice in 2018.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mentioned to Denise and Katie earlier, you know, I was sitting down to do some show prep, and I noticed that they were introducing the president, and I started to watch it, and I thought, well, I'll watch a couple minutes of this, and then I'm going to go back to what I was doing. I was glued to the TV set. Once he got past the thank you for this, thank you for that thing, I mean, he really was one of the better speeches he's done, because he's not a great teleprompter reading president, but he's clearly become more comfortable in that role, and because of that, he's becoming much more effective in it.
Yeah, I think you're right, because look, and the reason for the teleprompter is there are certain points you want to make. You want to make sure you don't miss them, that you don't say accidentally say the wrong thing. But I think he is doing a good job of giving those points, but then going off script to emphasize the parts that he's most passionate about and to connect with the audience. So, yeah, I mean, it was a long speech. I mean, most dinner speeches like that don't go as long as that one did, but I think he knew this was an opportunity to reach the larger conservative base and really paint the picture as more people are beginning to really focus in. It's summertime, but right after summer, you're going to have the elections coming up, and I think he wants people to focus in.
Yeah, you know, but I have to go back to the Iran deal reference I made a minute ago. I want you to listen to this bite yesterday from Mike Pompeo, who took a question from a reporter on why they backed out of the Iran deal. Cut number six, Katie. Thank you.
The demands, or whatever you want to call them, that you laid out for Iran yesterday, it seems like there's partially because you've laid them all out and partially because of what they are, there's not going to be much room for negotiation, if any, on any of those. Would you agree with that?
I don't know which of those demands. Should we allow them to be terrorists? Is that one we should compromise on? How many missiles are they allowed to fire?
Thank you. I wanted to stand up and applaud when I heard Mike Pompeo say that. What do you mean? What are we supposed to give in on? This is what we need, and why would we start out from a position of weakness?
Well, as the position of the United States has long been on a whole host of issues, we don't negotiate with terrorists. We don't negotiate hostage deals. We don't negotiate nuclear agreement deals. We don't negotiate with terrorists, which is exactly what Iran has been and has continued to be even after we, quote-unquote, signed on to this deal. So I think the administration was absolutely spot on to pull out to say, we're not going to be the suckers here. If other parts of Europe want to keep playing this game, we'll let them try that and see how that works out for them. But we are, you know, as President of the United States, I think the president says, I've got to do what's best for America. And when you know this is not best for the country, it might have been the best for Obama's legacy, but it wasn't the best deal for the country. I think he was probably having a hard time sleeping at night knowing that this was going on. And look, I think eventually we're seeing the Europeans, the French, the British, and others kind of pretend, well, we're going to try to work it out. We're going to stick with it. I behind the scenes, I think they're a little more on our side, knowing this was never a good deal from the get-go and trying to find a way for themselves to get out of it more gracefully. And I think in the long run, you're going to see them teaming up with us because the sanctions, frankly, the economics of this whole deal are on our side. And I don't think they alone cannot force Iran to do the right thing.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I don't know if you missed this or not, but right off the top of the segment, I played a bite from the president talking about this summit with North Korea and whether or not it may happen, may not. I wasn't real happy with what I heard out of his mouth, but, you know, we'll see if it happens. But if they don't give us what we want, we're not going to waste our time. The media's reaction to this is absolutely expected. They were shocked that we were ever going to sit down and meet with Kim Jong-un, and now they're slack-jawed that we set a meeting that we might not go through with. They don't know what to do with this guy.
Well, but no, but because, Mark, here's what they do. Whatever Donald Trump is for, they're against. So if he changes his position, they change their position. I mean, it's like ping pong, you know? I mean, it's so predictable what the headline is going to be the next day after he speaks, or the afternoon. Yeah, I mean, it's just whatever it was, they're going to take the opposite position. That's got to be the worst case for America. So, you know, look, I think the president, again, this is negotiation. We are going to only sit down at a table where we have the ability to negotiate a good deal for the United States of America. And if it's clear that's not going to happen, then why should anybody waste their time? And I think also the North Koreans and other countries, they have to understand that. And I think they do realize we're not dealing with the administration of 2 years ago. This is not an administration who we think we can kind of push around, who so badly wants to, quote-unquote, have peace in their title that they're willing to sign away anything that is, even if it's not, has nothing to do with peace.
Yeah.
They realize this is not that kind of administration. So it's changed the dynamic.
Genevieve Wood is our guest from the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. You know, I was reading a story on the Daily Signal that I wanted to discuss with you. I brought this up to my listeners earlier, and that's the fact that through some loophole, and because of if they can get 25 weak-kneed Republicans to go along with something called a discharge petition, the House might be able to force a vote on an amnesty bill. This is amazing to me that this could take place.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, look, the reason a discharge position, this kind of activity exists, is the way, if you can get 218 members of, you know, of either party or two parties combined to say, we want to vote on something, it's a way to say, leadership can't keep us from ever doing what we want to do. In and of itself, that's a good thing, right? If you can get 218 people to come along something. But in this particular case, you're basically going to have 193 Democrats getting a bill they want because 25 Republicans are coming alongside them to force to vote on it. Now, here's reality. The leadership knows this is happening. On Monday, they announced they are going to bring forward a vote on another immigration bill, the Goodlatte bill, introduced by a congressman from Virginia, which of all the bills out there, I would argue, is the most conservative because it doesn't just give legalization to some of the DACA recipients, but it does also add money in for border security. It puts in requires employers on E-Verify. It addresses some of the chain migration issues. So of all the bills, it's the most conservative. If they do bring that up for a vote, it would likely push off this discharge petition. But I will tell you, yesterday I was hosting, or not myself, Heritage was hosting an event on the Hill that we do monthly called Conversations with Conservatives, and it's mostly members of the Freedom Caucus just answering questions from the press. This was the question that was talked about for 90% of the press conference.
Oh, I'm sure.
And Jim Jordan and others, they said, look, we do need to address this issue. 2016, voters gave us a mandate to deal with the immigration issue. And the fact that we haven't done it and we're going into another election season is not a good thing. So I think there is appetite to do something, and among them to do the right thing, which is border security, the wall, addressing chain migration, the like. I mean, all the pillars that the president laid out. But they all said, look, there's no reason to pass some immigration bill that the president's never going to sign.
Yes.
If we're going to do this, let's do something we know he will sign. And the Republicans in the House have the votes to do that if you can get these 25 wayward folks to get back in line.
Yeah, do something meaningful. Don't just throw away the vote. Couldn't agree more.
Genevieve, but it's unfortunate they've had to force the House leadership to do this. That's the unfortunate part of
true.
It.
True. Yeah, I agree with you. They should have come forward with something more conservative a long time ago. Genevieve, always a pleasure. At Genevieve Wood on Twitter, heritage.org is the website. DailySignal.com is where you can go to read more on that discharge petition. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's frustrating.